Oh, thank you for having me this evening. I look forward to spending this time with you. I wanted to start with a little story from my own childhood. Growing up, whenever a friend spent the night and we begged hard enough, my older brother would treat us to what we called a light switch story. He would stand by my bedroom door and turn the lights out. And my friend and I would huddle under the covers and listen to his very spooky story. This could be any old scary story. I honestly have no memory of what it was. But at the crucial moment, suddenly he switched on the light and we would scream and scream. It was, oh, so scary. Now, my brother hadn't changed into a scary costume and he wasn't even making a frightening face. He was a good storyteller, perfectly setting us up for what was coming. But it was that sudden illumination out of the darkness that was terrifying. And because we had begged for it, it was thrilling too. So looking back, now, not back to my childhood, but just back 10 or 15 years ago, I realized that the way that I used to teach about the aggregates, the five clinging aggregates or khandhas, was in much the same way my brother told his light switch stories. Each week, my students would gather as if around a campfire, and each week I would talk about an aggregate. First the body, then the feeling tones, then perception, then fabrications or volitional mental formations, and finally consciousness. And each week I would end with those scary words. So we can see how this aggregate we have always believed to be who we are is unreliable, insubstantial, and impermanent, inseparable from all that is. There is something here, but there's nothing we can grab onto and claim as self. So they would go home saying, okay, well, I guess I can let that go. But next week, she better give me something I can hold on to. Oh, I had them on the edge of their seats. Each week, my students had less and less to cling to. They felt as if they were on a melting iceberg of hope that this next aggregate would be the defining self, the one that was truly them. But no, each aggregate, when investigated, when the light of awareness switches on, turns out to be insubstantial, undependable, ever-changing, all kinds of words that can feel terrifying to us if we are clinging to the lifelong assumption that this body is me. That these sensations and feelings about the sensations are me. This perceiving the world around me is me. All these thoughts and emotions that arise and paint the world past, present, and future are me. And of course, consciousness, this awareness of being is me. Me, me, me. I exist. Don't tell me I don't. Please. It was the scariest light switch story of all because it felt as if when the light went on, some body snatcher had come and there was nothing left. But why would turning on a light be scary? Maybe it's just part of human nature to be terrified of change, to dread what illumination might reveal, and to discover that what we have always clung to is unstable, ever-changing, insubstantial. You know the drill. As I've matured, both in my practice and in my teaching, I have, you'll be happy to hear, grown in compassion and kindness, and I intend to continue to do so. I don't share the Dharma like a spooky bedtime story anymore. Metta has been my guide, and it's led me to a much more loving way of understanding and sharing the teachings of the five aggregates, not by withholding the truth, but by delving even more deeply, because the five aggregates are not scary at all, but cause for joy. So how is this possible? It's possible because this teaching is not about disappearing. In the Satipatthana Sutta, the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, and many other sutras, the Buddha referred to the aggregates as clinging aggregates, with an emphasis on clinging. So our practice is to shine a light on how we suffer when we get caught up in the clinging to these aggregates, believing that they define us. And the light we shine is not one of those flashlights that Dana and Scully used on the X-Files, or the harsh fluorescent lights for an IRS examiner to review tax forms, or the dangling light over an interrogation table as if we're grilling a suspect. No, it's the radiant light of metta, of infinite loving kindness. So with our practice, we cultivate metta and awareness. The two are intrinsically intertwined. And with that light, we can be fearless in our investigation into the nature of these clinging aggregates. One simile the Buddha used for the aggregates was of a dog tied to a post. The post is the five aggregates we believe ourselves to be. And when the dog walks, it can only walk in circles around the post. So just so, we can't wander beyond the edges of who we believe ourselves to be. We are chained to these beliefs, just as the dog is chained to the post. This image helps us to see the true nature of the beliefs we traditionally hold about who we are. If we are entrenched in the culturally sanctioned belief that we are this body, these preferences, these opinions, judgments, memories, interests, hopes, and fears, or even the consciousness that directs our attention to these areas, we are clinging, and in that clinging, we suffer. Another image that I find helpful is of a fortress, and how when we cling to these aggregates, we are fortifying a fortress of a solid, separate-seeming self and manning the barricades. And since the English word aggregate is intrinsically connected with construction, being, you know, the rocks and gravel that fortify concrete, kind of ties in pretty well. But when we fortify our sense of self, we isolate, we withdraw, we withhold, we tighten up, we live in fear, and we cling. Oh, how we cling. And oh, how painful it is, how much dukkha we create for ourselves and those around us. That dukkha, that sense of suffering, is what brings us here together. So gratitude for dukkha, for delivering us to the very means to recognize and relieve it. Our meditation practice, our reflection, and our compassionate investigation enable us to release the fear of not being as solid and substantial as we may have imagined ourselves to be. We awaken to the intrinsic interconnection of all life and can release into the dance of life rather than withholding for fear of losing ourselves. So that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But if that doesn't accurately describe your experience, that's okay. It's a process and a practice. Whatever's going on in this moment, we reset our intention to greet this moment and this experience that as it is. Hello, grasping. Hello, judging. Hello, discouragement. Or anything else that may be present. And because we humans tend to enjoy naming and categorizing, that's the third aggregate, perception, the Buddha provided this means of recognizing what's happening in any moment. So those thoughts and emotions arising, we can recognize as the fourth aggregate, volitional mental formations or fabrications. And once we've noticed them and see how they fit into the five aggregates, we can, if we're finding we're getting lost in them, we can gently redirect our attention to the first aggregate, noticing where in the body these thoughts and emotions are registering. If they are stressful, the body will register that stress, won't it? In that furrowed brow, the tightened jaw, the clenched fist, the upset stomach, the shoulders rising up towards the ears. The body is trying to get us to redirect our attention to the felt sense of being alive in this moment. So we can notice that when we redirect our attention to the body, we are not engaging the fourth aggregate, the mental formations, all those thoughts and judgments about the body, but we're simply being present with a felt sense of the body in this moment. And as meditators, we know how that feels. But often in life, we forget that we can do that at any other time of the day as well. We can release any physical tension and connect with the senses. And we can also remember the elemental nature of being. So I've lately been finding that the elemental nature of being is probably the most powerful thing that I do personally as a practice, because it really reminds me of how we're all made of the same stuff, and it's just so powerful. I was thinking about why, when we see a rainbow, do we pause to appreciate it? Why does it give us joy? It's not just because it's beautiful, but also because of the fleeting nature of the coming together of all the elements. The sunlight, which is the fire element, meets the air and water, the rain, and particles, tiny particles of earth element, in a moment of glorious beauty, fleeting beauty. So we are rainbows too, each of us, a fleeting, changing, commingling of the elements, a celebration of life that can't be captured, stifled, contained, or made permanent, but it can be enjoyed. And it can be directed for the benefit of all life, all beings. An exploration of the five clinging aggregates, these aspects of self, may be interesting as a scholarly study, but it's life-changing as an experiential investigation and fun. I've noticed most recently that when we become very familiar with these aggregates, they can be played like a musical instrument and help us to live more fully alive in each moment. But to play an instrument takes practice, doesn't it? Maybe you have the experience like I did as a kid of taking up an instrument and making such horrible sounds that you set the instrument aside, you'd get really discouraged. So, you know, you're expecting to make this beautiful music and instead the sounds are incredibly discordant. So maybe you, like I did, gave up frustrated, or maybe you kept practicing and eventually you did make beautiful music. In the same way, we who meditate, we're practicing, aren't we? We call it a practice. We know it to be a practice. We know there is no perfection in it. It is always a practice. And knowing that our meditation experience won't always be sweet music, we can still trust that the practice itself is valuable. So I'd like to try a little practice now to help us play this instrument, the five aggregates, or because it sounds like a much cooler instrument to play, we'll call it by its Pali name, the khandas. So let's play the khandas. So if you would, please resume your meditative posture and close your eyes. Just settle back in. Bring your attention to the body, felt sense of the body. Maybe there's an energetic aliveness. So you might notice the fire element in that, all those energy-based feelings. Maybe you're more drawn to the earth element, the way the bones sit, the way the earth itself supports the body. Noticing the various hard surfaces of the body, more solid parts. Just taking a moment to check that out. See what you notice, see what you connect with. Letting go of any sense of my or me. Just the felt sense of the elements as they show up in this field of experience. Notice the water element, saliva. Maybe on this warm day, there's some moisture on the skin. Notice the eyes, the moisture there. And then just imagining the flow of the blood within the body. Water element. And then, of course, the air element. Feel the air on your skin and the in and out of the breath. Just becoming aware of this conjunction of all the elements in this body, in this moment, and how they're always changing and shifting, commingling. Maybe on a different timeline than a rainbow, but still fleeting. Not in a way that loses anything, but as in a dance. A dance of the elements. As you spend some time paying attention to the body and its elemental nature, you might also notice some sensation that is pleasant or unpleasant, or some neutral sensation that you probably wouldn't notice if you weren't purposely paying attention. Notice how when you pay attention to a sensation, there may be the tendency of mind to immediately launch into a story about it, a worry about it, a memory about it, especially if it's painful and maybe you have some history with it or something that just pulls you into a very tangled series of thoughts around it. It's noticing how coming from that joyous celebration of all the elements coming together in the rainbow of self, suddenly you get a little launched into grasping and clinging and pushing away. So as we play the notes of this instrument of the five aggregates, you like that simile, we want to keep directing our attention to this elemental nature, to the body, the felt sense, not the labeling, the perception of the body, but the felt sense of aliveness in the body. When we are able to anchor our awareness in this area, we find that the body relaxes and releases. Everything becomes more spacious. And we can be very clear in our intention, very skillful in our effort. We can cultivate loving kindness and compassion. In fact, all of the beautiful teachings of the Buddha, all of the Brahmaviharas and the Paramis and everything that we want to cultivate all come from resting our awareness in this space, bringing our consciousness again and again to the felt sense of being alive in this moment, expansive nature of being, the sense of interconnection, how much easier it is to cultivate metta when we're not entangled and when we're not labeling and withholding and building fortresses and doing all kinds of things to separate ourselves. Just finish noticing whatever you're noticing. And then open your eyes and take a moment to reflect on what you noticed. And if that brought up anything for you, if something in your experience gave you a little bit of insight into either the five aggregates or the anatta, no self, no separate self, or gave you any inroad into it, feel free to share. Use the wave emoji or 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 just wave and unmute yourself. Don't have to get all techy. Yes.
Stephanie, I really love the image of the rainbow. It's such a perfect one. And the way you described it and all the different, you know, parts of it is so perfect for the, it's just such a beautiful analogy or metaphor. Really like it.
Yeah.
And I've been particularly aware of the, I don't know, the quickness of life in the sense of, I'm going to be 82 this year. And, you know, just being aware of my parents' life that came and went, you know, and the fact that my life is likely to come and go very quickly too, you know. And it's just the beauty of it in a way, you know, particularly if we're living the best possible way that we can live. So thank you for sharing that image. I really treasure it. It's beautiful. Thank you.
Sharing. Anyone else? And Barbara?
Wanted to add that I love the elements, the rainbow. I've heard it as an image of, you know, impermanence, but to put in all of the elements and to mention that they all come together and really only from a certain point of view, so that, you know, it's there, they don't even have a permanent place. And so it's a wonderful image, and I agree with Mary. It was a nice gift.
Yeah. Thank you Barbara. So I imagine that you've explored the five aggregates many different ways over the years in the Sangha. Is there anything about looking at it in this way as a practice, as if on a musical instrument, that we actually use not to scare ourselves, but really to understand how to play the aggregates in a way that is beneficial by keep redirecting our attention into the lower aggregates, into those lower notes, and that from that place, we really have the opportunity to practice in the way, you know, with the, you know, the Brahmaviharas and all the beautiful practices that we love so much, instead of getting caught up in the, you know, the fabrication end of things, which when I've been here before, I've talked about it as the veils, you know, where we just keep creating all these things. And of course we have many ideas and we like to hang out in those areas, but if we can visit those areas from that deep place of, you know, being fully present, and then we explore in the veil of ideas, the various veils, the subjects that we're interested in, and share them in a way that is really rich and exciting, but don't get caught up in thinking that's who we are, how much richer it is, isn't it? That we have that that freedom and elasticity to, you know, explore it, and but be fully present. Explore and be present in the exploration. And when we come upon a really difficult, challenging series of thoughts, you know, we can instantly recognize if we've been practicing it like an instrument. We can recognize, oh, okay, well, I'm stuck in this, you know, my, not I, but my attention. The attention is stuck in this naughty thing, and I'm not really experiencing the anchored sense of, you know, being fully present with all the elemental nature and the aliveness of being. So if I can, you know, the body's like screaming, you know, I'm right here, I'm right here. And if I can just bring my awareness back to the felt sense of the body, and I go, oh, okay, okay, and relax and release, and then find, like, you can have such a difficult problem going on and your mind's running, you know, you've had an interaction with somebody and it's like, whoa, you know, where are they coming from? I don't get it. What's happening? And if you just come back and sit, you know, in that deep place, connecting with the felt sense, and out of that comes loving kindness. And you can send metta. You just keep sending metta to that person. Just every time you think of them, just keep sending metta. Saying, wow, they're really going through something. Wow, something going through. And they're really, you know, they just like came at me, you know. I'm sure, you know, you've had, on occasion had somebody that they just, you know, like, woo, you know, and instead of taking it personally in this very identifying way of what did I do? What about me happened? You know, you can kind of say, well, wait a minute. They seem to be just be going through something. And, you know, I just was a bystander in that because that often happens. I mean, sometimes we do need to take responsibility, of course, if we have done things and we have to revisit, you know, the Eightfold Path and, right speech and that, yeah. Jan.
So I wanted to share. I had said early on that I was having trouble with connections, and tonight it felt like it was all about me. It was my connection. It was just broken, and I could hear part of what you were saying, then I couldn't hear it. I wanted to hear it, and it was my computer, my problem. I'm talking to you now on my PC because my Mac is just not working, and it's my Mac and my PC and my connection, because y'all are having a wonderful time and I'm not. So, and I'm like, oh, I think this is called a view.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, because I moved to another machine, but yeah. It was
fortunately it's being recorded, so you can listen later.
I was thinking about that. I'm like, maybe I should just hang up. No, I'm not that kind of person. Let me try another device.
Oh, well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah,
and I'm sorry.
It was just a good, clear for me, a very clear understanding of my view that it's how I see things. You know, somebody else would say, oh no, it's universal or whatever, but I took it on as my problem, me doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for listening.
Well, thank you for sharing. Yes, that's certainly something that we often tend to do, you know. Yeah, just take a situation and turn it around and identify it as an aspect of self. Yeah. Anybody else have some thoughts on five aggregates or getting caught up in thoughts or anything about relationships where this might apply? It's often where we get entangled. Yeah, Bill.
Well, this isn't exactly a relationship.
Barbara.
we're late because we were stuck in the Caldecott Tunnel for over an hour. And I heard Jan say, everybody's having a great time out there. Here I am stuck in here. It was this awful. And plus, oh my God, are we going to be toxically? It's because flames were at the end of the tunnel. Sorry to exploded or something. There was this huge fire. And I was, and so finally I did the air aggregate thing. I went into the body, and suddenly, even though I wasn't, you know, oh, I'm happy to be in the tunnel, there was this sense of, well, this is sort of physically, I really had the sense of the physical composites of, you know, this is a fabrication and there's a big part of it that's physical. And if I get interested in the physical part, the rest of it kind of organizes in a different way. And so it was helpful. But that whole sense of everybody outside in the beautiful spring weather and me in this tunnel. So anyway, all things fall together.
Yeah, you certainly did pick a very beautiful day to get stuck in a tunnel.
Me and a bunch of other people. Wasn't everybody out in the spring?
Thank you. Yeah. So we still have 15 minutes left. So would you like to, let me just look at my notes and see if I have more to share. Where did my notes go? There they are. Okay. Nope. That's pretty much what I wanted to share. I didn't always love the five aggregates, but now I do. And so I think that that's a huge change, to switch from it being something scary to something that you can really incorporate into your practice and help you to see where the mind is, you know, I mean, where the attention is focused, and redirecting it to a place that's more helpful. I think it's so cool. The Buddha thought that up.
Stephanie, this is Mary again. What do you think about when the body itself is reacting in a negative way, that you can feel the body getting really tight? And like my experience is, you know, watching the news, and particularly around politics, where I can feel the body get really tense and tight. The body isn't then at that point in time a source of comfort. It's really, you know, just telling me I'm really uptight. what do you think about that in relation to sort of as a musical instrument? It's like the instrument.
So, yeah. So because you are a meditator and you are sensitive to your body, you do feel your body, you do feel the tension in your body, there are, you know, probably 7.5 billion of the 8 billion people on Earth who don't see that, who don't feel that, who are just so caught up in their head that they're not recognizing that tension. So you are recognizing it. Then it's a question of what do you do with that recognition? Mm-hmm. And what you do is maybe turn off the news. Mm-hmm. or say, you know, I need to find some perspective here. Maybe I'm over engaged in this because my body is not taking kindly to this experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just as you would with any loved one, a baby or, you know, anyone you love, to say, you know, come on, let's take a little walk outside. Let's put some perspective here. Yes, you know, the news tells me the world's going to hell in a handbag. And I know that's true, but it's also a beautiful day outside, or it's raining, and look out and see the flowers and the different things. It's just, you know, a shift of perspective to just open, and also the metta practice, you know, so, you know, just go right into metta, just loving kindness to the body and to whoever you're seeing in the news that's concerning you. Then may you be well, because, you know, and then if there is some actual action that you can do to make a difference, you know, send money here, do this, do that, that isn't too overwhelming and that is within your resources, then of course, you know, you do that. But I've taken to reading historical novels just to remind myself that it is ever thus. humans, you know, we just do the darndest stuff, we're a very confused and interesting species to observe, and to not get, you know, we do what we're able to do, but we take care of ourselves in the process. And so, yeah, I would encourage you to disengage a little bit from, you know, if the body is telling you something, to listen.